I welcome everybody with us this morning as we have this opportunity on this Lord's Day to be together. It seems like every Sunday we're able to see more and more of our members and those who are seeking to worship God able to be with us, and we're happy and joyous to be able to be together. It's encouraging and uplifting that we have this opportunity, and I know all of you missed having these opportunities there for those several weeks that we weren't able to do so. And I'm glad and thankful to the Lord, as Doug expressed earlier in his prayer, that we have this opportunity now. There are a lot of uncertainties and a lot of people who are fearful given the situations that are going on, not only with the coronavirus, but also with some of the tensions going on in our society right now. And there are characteristics as Christians of which we should be especially mindful, not only when we're with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, and when we're with our families, but also when we're with our neighbors and our coworkers. Characteristics that God not only wants us to have within ourselves in our service to Him, but characteristics He wants us to show to others. Especially given the fact that it's important for us to be good examples of what the gospel teaches regarding the love of God and the need for people to be saved. And so this morning, for a few moments, I'd like for you to consider with me three characteristics that as Christians we must show every day. And I'd like for you to consider three ways that we can show humility, gentleness, and meekness in our lives. These are three characteristics that I think our society really need to be reminded of right now. And people of faith can take a step forward in showing these characteristics in how we treat one another and how we live our lives. And so in these three ways, perhaps we can help remind ourselves to be humble, gentle, and meek, and help to show others the need to be humble, gentle, and meek. So to understand the terms that we're describing, understand that humility, and of course we talk about being humble, the idea of being humble means the state of not being puffed up with pride or thinking one is better than others. It's a simplistic and short definition for a characteristic that is infinitely more difficult sometimes to express, sometimes even without thinking about what we're doing or thinking about what we're saying. Sometimes we can come across as not being humble, even though that's the last thing that we want to do. And so we need to remember that the idea of humility is considering others before ourselves, making sure that we consider the soul of individuals as being the most important and that we are not better than another. Gentleness is the actual application of humility and how we conduct ourselves with others. Being gentle describes the actual means with which I communicate my thoughts, my intentions, the words that I use, the actions that I take to show others that I'm not, that I don't think of myself as better than anyone else. In fact, I seek to serve. Gentleness is the characteristic of kindness that is associated with humility. And then there's the term meekness, and we've talked about this term quite a bit in the past, how that often it's misunderstood or misapplied as being weak, as lacking power or lacking strength. A lot of times when people think of Jesus as being meek and lowly, they think of Him being beaten and weak, when in fact the idea of being meek is having ability and having strength, but choosing to rein it in. It is the soundness of mind to control one's actions and words, even when faced with provocative actions from others. And especially now, as in all times, our society needs to be reminded of this characteristic. And so what three ways can we help remind ourselves to remain humble, gentle, and meek, and hopefully also help others as well? One way we can do that is to pray, and to pray always. This is not just something, obviously, we pray on our own. Hopefully we pray for our meals, whether there are others with us or not. We pray, hopefully, before we go to work, before we lay down to bed. But these are the types of actions that even others, when we're praying for our food at a restaurant or at work before we eat our meal in the lunchroom, people notice. People observe our actions and what we do and what we don't do, even when we don't think others are watching. I've mentioned this before, but it's been a while since we've read it. Revelation chapter 4 and in verse 1. Reading this passage, the first three verses of this passage, first four verses, reminds us that when we bow before the throne of God, it reminds us to whom it is we're bowing. After these things, verse 1 of Revelation 4, I looked and behold, John says, behold a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Notice how John describes, and as best he can, what he's seeing, verse 3. He who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. There was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And notice what he says in verse 5. From the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Verse 6. Before the throne there was a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. You read this and some of the imagery is like, that is just weird. But imagine thinking, especially these four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back, giving the understanding of all seeing, of all knowing, not only outwardly but inwardly. And how as God sits on the throne, verse 5 is something that I try to remind myself when I pray, that from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Imagine all the activity that is taking place in heaven before the throne of God. To be in control of this universe, much less humanity. To be watchful over His people. To continue to work in the kingdoms of men. And these lightnings and thunderings and voices, notice they proceeded from the throne. It's as if God's power, His will is being done, these orders being issued from the throne itself. When we bow before God and we have this image in our mind, it would be very difficult not to be humble. Not to be aware of just to whom it is we're praying. He is the creator of all things. And this helps to temper our actions when we remember how important it is that not only is He this our God, this is the God of all. But then the second thing we want to consider as well is making sure that we are consistent in our example. There is a phrase that we use, there's a cliche sometimes, I guess people might consider it, practice what you preach. But you know, it's more than just a cliche. These are words that remind us how important it is that we be consistent with those around us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 22, Paul describes his efforts to teach the gospel to others. He says, to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. This I do for the gospel's sake, he says in verse 23. But then he goes on to say in verse 24, he talks about the race being run. And he concludes in verse 24, run in such a way that you may obtain it. Verse 25, anyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. They're controlled. That speaks to meekness. Even though you have the ability, perhaps, to break the rules, you know that the rules are there for a reason. Those who compete for the prize, they are controlled. They do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. verse 26, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. It is important for us to always remember that just because we have been baptized, those of us who have been, and have been washed free of our sin and added to the body of Christ, does not make us immune to judgment. And it does not make us immune to temptation or sin. It's all the more important that we practice meekness and humility and gentleness. Because Paul, even the Apostle Paul himself, acknowledged that imagine all the people that he helped bring to the gospel. After all that effort and all that teaching, what does Paul come to the conclusion? He says, I have to make sure I do the very thing that I preach, lest, as he says, I should become disqualified. We, too, will face judgment. And we will be judged not only for the things that we've said, but for whether or not we've actually practiced what we've preached from the gospel. Being humble, gentle, and meek are key components that remind us that we're here to serve. In fact, being here to serve is the example that Jesus left for us. In Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 5, on the heels, verses 1 through 4, of Paul encouraging the Philippians to be like-minded one for another, not to be selfish or to be puffed up, but to consider others. He says, let this mind be in you, which also was in Jesus Christ, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, verse 7. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus left his home of glory to come to earth and serve us. In fact, Jesus gave an example of what it meant, he, the master, serving his disciples when he washed the feet of the apostles, for which Peter was adamantly opposed until Jesus says, listen, if you don't let me do this, you have no part of me. And Peter says, wash all of me then. The whole example that Jesus set forward was, if I, your master, am willing to do this for you, my disciples, then so you should do to one another. Being humble, gentle, and meek were three mainstay characteristics of Jesus that must be in us, not only in our service to God, and not only in our service to each other, but in our service to our neighbor. In James chapter 3, and in verse 13, James describes the wisdom of God, the wisdom that is from above, versus the wisdom of the earth. But he starts this process in verse 13 by describing how you show wisdom. The wisdom isn't something where you go around bragging, look how wise I am. In fact, there's a joke among preachers about, I'm more humble than you. No, I'm more humble than you are. And the kind of the irony of the fact that those who would brag about being humble are in fact the opposite of being humble. In verse 13 of James chapter 3, James says, who is wise and understanding among you? Where some people might go around bragging, I'm wise and I'm understanding, raising their hands, everybody look at me. James says, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Controlled, humble, gentle. Verse 16, talking about the wisdom that is of the earth, where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. These are the opposite of humility and gentleness and meekness. But in verse 17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's first pure. Wisdom that is from above is pure. It is of the truth. But then notice how then that is applied. How it then, these applications are for how we treat others, how this wisdom that is from above, how it treats others. It is peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. If there was ever a verse that our society should take and read and pay heed to, it'd be verse 17. That the wisdom from above is first pure, and then how is the wisdom of God applied? It's peaceable with others. It's gentle to others. It's willing to yield in matters of liberty, in full of mercy. It's full of good fruits, of doing good things for others, without partiality. Does not lay hold of a face. It's without hypocrisy. It doesn't say one thing and then do another. It doesn't say one thing to one set of people and another thing to a different set of people. It is consistent. These three attributes are increasingly important in our society. And remember what Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, you are the salt of the earth. It's important for us to take this character, these attributes of God, and use it to salt ourselves. Use it to create these beneficial works that men may see our good works and come to glorify our God, our Father in heaven. That's the lesson for you this morning. Something I hope that is simple and yet comprehensive in its application. Because we always, always need to be reminded to remain humble, gentle, and meek. Where pride and whereas envy, where James describes the wisdom that is of the earth, self-seeking exists, confusion and evil is there. We need to make sure that that's not what we exhibit in our lives to others. We can attempt to make our communities and our society better by showing ourselves to be what God wants us to be. We offer an invitation this morning to those who are not Christians to be baptized, to have your sins washed away, be added to the body that belongs to Christ, and then take on yourself the same character that Christ has shown us that we should have. Being gentle, being meek, being humble. Those of us who are Christians, let's make sure that in our treatment of each other, in our treatment of our neighbor, that we show these same characteristics that Christ showed us. The lesson is yours. If you're subject, come forward as we stand and sing.